Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 19 lines from the top. You might estimate a little bit less than halfway down the page. You'll notice a triangle, and it's called number 4. We're basically continuing where we left off in our previous shiur with our series of questions challenging Rabbah's explanation of the reason for Befonai Nechtav uBefonai Nechtam. The Gemara. Toshma Debar Minei Shmuel Mirav Huna. Shmuel asked of Rav Huna, Shnayim Shaviu Get Mi Medinas Hayam. Two people are the conveyors. They bring a get from outside Eretz Israel. Do they have to make the declaration that a standard single agent does? Or maybe since there are two of them, there's no need for it. Omar lei ein tzrichin. Rav Huna says there is no need. Uma ilu yomru bifonenu girsha. If these two people would say, in front of us, we saw her divorced. Milo mehenni, would they not be believed? So since you have two people here, they appear as actual witnesses. If we look at Rashi right across from here, Uma ilu yomru klomar imrotsuhein omrim, if they wanted, they could have said, onu mi'idim shegirsha, v'nosan lo get, the husband divorced her, gave to her agent a get on her behalf. Well, the Gemara continues, says, L'Rava Nicha, L'Rabba Kasha. According to Rava, this ruling of Rav Huna makes sense. The whole purpose of the Befonai Nechtam, Befonai Nechtam is for verification purposes, and in the absence of two people who would testify to the authenticity, the single agent would say befonai nechtam as testimony. But when you have two people that are bringing it, they represent the testimony. They don't have to actually say it. According to Rabbah, though, the get is brought from abroad. Do we not have to ascertain that it was done lishma? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, Rav Huna's ruling that there's no need for b'fonai nefonetam when brought by the two, la'achar shalomdu. It's talking about a generation, a time after they have learned that lishma is a binding factor. And therefore, since they're knowledgeable, we don't need any announcement to that effect, that it was done lishma. It's assumed that it was done lishma because it's lachar shalomdu. Well, ihachi chad nami, if that be the case, then even a single agent that brings the get should not have to say. The whole leniency here is because two brought it, but if one brings it, he has to say. So the Gemara says that's true. One does have to say, even though it's lachar shalom, gzeiro shema yachsu dover likulkulo. As we saw in our previous year, this logic, we're using that to answer over here as well. We're fearful that even though now it's an era of scholarship, of familiarity with the law, but things might go back to the way they were, when they weren't so knowledgeable. To go back to the kilkula literally means when it was messed up, when they didn't know. Well, ihachi, if that's the reason for b'fonei nachta, b'fonei nachtam, well, beitrei nami, even when to bring it, why does Rav Huna say they don't need to say? Let them be required to say, in anticipation of things going back one day to the old times, when you had to say it, to establish lishma. The more answers, beitrei de maisu gita milsa de lo shchicha. Two people functioning as agents bringing the get is something unusual. And when you're dealing with an unusual situation, the rabbis didn't impose their stringencies, their rulings. And therefore, since it's la'achar shalomdu, I'm not going to take into consideration things going back to the way they were in an unusual case like two people bringing it. Question, v'ha isha delo shchicha, a woman serving as an agent to bring her own get, that's an unusual case. Utnan, isha atzma mevio gita, the Mishnah tells us that a woman can bring her own get, where the husband gave her a divorce document, but stipulated that the divorce doesn't take effect until you get to a certain specified point of destination. So the woman is functioning as an agent for herself, basically. And the law is, she can do that. Provided she makes the announcement that the get was done in my presence. In other words, it was prepared in my presence. But if we're dealing with la'achar shalomdu, and milsa de lo shchicha lo gazu berabonan, why here does she have to say b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam? We answer shelo tachlok b'shlichus, so that we don't make distinctions in different within the realm of different agents. Since in the case of standard agency, we said gezeiro shemo yachsu dover l'kulkulo, even in this unusual case of agency, we insist on her saying b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam. Tosfos adds very importantly that when the Gemara says shelo tachlok b'shlichus, we don't want to make distinctions in the case of agency. It's the case of a single agent. And therefore, even though the case of the woman is an unusual case, but we want to have a uniform halacha with regard to single agents. However, when it comes to the case of two that brought the get, there we don't. That's we'll say so different. First of all, it's unusual, and it's also different. It's two people. There, Tosis explains, we don't make a gezeira of two needing to say b'fonei nechtam in anticipation of one where we do require that to be said. We continue in the Gemara. Well, ihachi, if you're saying that there's a need for b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam when you're dealing with a single shaliach, well then baal nami, the husband himself should have to say b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam. Aloma Tanya, why then do we have the following teaching? Hu atzmo shehevi ito, the husband himself, that he wrote the get in one location. He wrote the get b'medina sayam. And he brings the get to Eretz Yisrael. Eino tzorech lomar b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam. He doesn't have to say that. Why not? Even if it's la'achar shalomdu, but didn't you say that we make a gezeiro shemo yachzer dover l'kilkulo? And didn't we say that we want a uniform halacha to all cases of individuals that bring a get? The Gemara answers, in the case of the husband, it would be preposterous. It would be ridiculous to expect him to say that, to announce the kashrus of the get. Why? Why was this imposed in the first place? The need for an agent to say b'fonai nechta fonai nechta. The reason for that is dilma osi ba'al ma'arer u'posulei. This was a means of preempting a husband coming and challenging the kashrus, the acceptability of the get. Hashto, now, where the husband himself is minkat nokit le biodei, he himself is bringing the get to the destination where his wife is located. The uri kuma arole, is he going to then challenge himself, so to speak? He's going to question the kashrus of the very get that he himself is troubling himself to bring? Obviously no. So in such a case, there's no need from the very outset to even think of the need for the Baal, for the husband himself, to say b'fonai nechta fonai nechtam, which was basically something that was designed to thwart, to preempt a challenging husband. Ta shma. Again, we question Rabba. Hamevi get mi medina sayam v'nosnu lo v'lo omar lo b'fonai nechta fonai nechtam. Get is brought from abroad, and it's given to the woman, and the agent does not say what he's supposed to say. Im niskayim b'chois mof kosher. If we can verify the signatures in the get, it's a kosher get. She's considered divorced. V'im lav, posel. And if the signatures cannot be verified, so it's an ineffective get. It's disqualified. Have lo hutzruchu lomar b'fonai nechta fonai nechtam l'hachmir oleho elo l'hokil oleho. You can see from here that the whole purpose of the b'fonai nechta fonai nechtam is not to impose a stringency upon her, but rather a leniency that she wouldn't need to bring witnesses to verify the signatures if the shliach had said, what he's supposed to say. L'Rava Nicho, L'Rava Kasha. According to Rava, this source makes perfect sense. Our whole concern, or the whole need for b'fonei nechta fonei nechtam, is for signature verification purposes. And as it says here, if it can be verified through outside witnesses, so that will compensate for the silence of the shaliach. But according to Rabba, that the whole purpose is to inform us, to ensure us that the get was written lishma. Why here is this kind of situation okay, where the shliach remains silent? I don't know that it was done lishma. This source is dealing with an era after they learned how to do. They learned that lishma is a restrictive or a binding factor. So they know. So there's Rava's whole concern was informing us of it being done lishma. Yeah, but it's in a place, it's in an era where everyone knows you have to do it lishma, so there's no need for any additional reassurance. The Gemara asks, V'ho amris gzeira shema yachzer dover l'kulkulo? Did we not say earlier that even though it's l'achar shalomdu, there still is a need for b'fonai nefonai tachtam as a... preemptive consideration in anticipation of things going back to the way they were when they weren't all familiar with the laws of Lishma. So the question remains, why in this source does it are we accepting a get without the shliach actually saying b'fonei nechta fonei nechtam, as long as it can be verified, the signatures can be verified? The Gemara says, you know why we're accepting it? Because kishenises, she already married a second man. So she married a second man. Did she marry with a kosher get? Yes, the get was kosher. Why? Well, everyone knows it's an era in which it's everyone knows you have to do the get lishma. So the get was written under kosher circumstances with halachic approval. The fact that we make a gzera that he has to say it anyway. But here we have an extenuating circumstance. She married someone, and because of the gzera of Meshemo Yachsu Dovali Kikulo, we're not going to make her leave her new husband. The Gemara says, well, if that's the explanation of this source, if it's under those circumstances that this source is stated, Ihochi, and here we quote from the source, Have lo hutzuchu lomar b'fonay nechtam lahachmir oleo elo lahokil oleo. The source said that the need for b'fonay nechtam, fonechtam is a leniency. It's not here as a stringency upon her. And if that's what the source says, and yet we're explaining that the source is talking about where she already got married, Mishum Denises who? This Gemara is very, very terse. So we look at Rashi. Mishum Denises who? V'im lo nises. Had she not married a second man at this point in time, lo shavkina lo linsubi, we wouldn't allow her to marry someone else. V'afagavdi kayem, even if the signatures could be verified. Well, haynu chumra. That's a stringency. The source itself said that the get will be acceptable in the absence of b'fonei nechtam if you can establish the signatures through standard signature verification. But according to the answers that we've been giving on behalf of Rabbah, the case here is that she already married a second husband. That leaves us only one conclusion of inference, that if she wouldn't have married a second husband, being that the shliach did not say b'fonei nechtam, she would not be allowed to marry a second fellow, even with verification of the signatures. Well, is that not, in fact, an extreme stringency? How can the source say that the takona b'fonei nechtam is something that is based on providing a leniency? Our expectation of b'fonei nechtam isn't predicated on some kind of leniency. It, in fact, is the basis of a great stringency. And the only reason that we're letting the get be considered kosher is because she married a second man in the meantime. The Gemara responds, Hochi Ka'omar, the source is to be understood thusly, V'chiteimo lahachmir olel alo v'lifka. We're keeping the explanation that we gave already. In other words, the fact that the shliach gets away with not having said b'fonei nechtam, this is stated only under circumstances where she had married a second husband. Now, you might have thought, let's go all the way with our stringency and insist that if she married a second husband, having received a get without the agent saying b'fonei nechtam, lifka means take her away, make her leave her second husband. So to that we say, have lo hutzruchu lomar b'fonei nel fonei nechtam lahachmir oleo elo lahokel oleho. The need for b'fonei nel fonei nechtam was imposed at the outset as a leniency for the woman. Taimo my Dilma Osibal Ma'aru Posole. And what was the role of b'fonei nechtam? It was imposed as a leniency to preempt a husband who might come, who might otherwise come and challenge the get's kashrus. Hashta, in the meantime, though, ba'al lo kol ma'arer, the original husband hasn't come to challenge, and as we said, she's married a second man in the meantime. Anan nekum v'na'arer alo. Are we supposed to arise and challenge the get? Just because the befonai nechtam wasn't said, no, we're not going to do that. And in accordance with all the hesberim, the explanations we gave before, it's la'achar shalomdu. As far as any concern with the lack of lishma, there is no worry about that. We said that even though lachar shalom, that we still have a gezeiro shemo yachzer lover lekukulo. Yeah, but she's remarried in the meantime. Then are you going to then come and say, well, I don't care that she's remarried. We're going to insist on her leaving the second husband because the befonai nechtam wasn't stated. Yeah, but to that we tell you that the original imposition of befonai nechtam was really made for her benefit, for, we'll say, a certain leniency, and therefore we're not going to make her leave the second husband. We glance at the Rashi at the top. Taimo mai v'chulei dilmosi balumara. The taimo mai omer rabbonon deboi lemeimar. Why did the rabbi say that the agent has to say befonai nefonai nechtam dilmosi balumara, in anticipation of a husband that might come and challenge the authenticity of the document? Hilkoch im lo nises, if the woman hadn't married a second man, lo tina say, we would tell her not to get married, because we didn't hear befonai nechtav ubefonai nechtam. Avol hashto de nisei samai lafko, but now that she's remarried, why should we tell her to leave the second husband? Akati lo osi balum arer. In the meantime, the husband hasn't come to challenge. Ana nekum v'narer, should we come and challenge in his stead? No. So at this point, we understand that all the questions that we've raised against Rabbah has successfully defended himself. The Gemara continues by saying that the machlokas between Rabbah and Rava is a machlokas that you find between earlier Amoroyim, Beplukta de Reb Yochanan Reb Yishuv ben Levi. Charomar Lefishein Bekin Lishma, the Charomar Lefishein Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. Here we have pronouns. We know who they are. We know, namely, we know who is arguing, Reb Yochanan, Reb Yishuv ben Levi, but the Gemara doesn't say who says what. He says, well, one of them says that the need for Befonai Nefonai Nechtam is because of Lishma purposes, and the other one says for signature verification purposes. Well, who says what? The Gemara makes a point. We have a long point marking here. Tistayim de Reb Yishuv ben Levi hu di omar lefi she'ein bekiyin lishma. Let us conclude that it must have been Reb Yishuv ben Levi saying that the befonai nechtam, befonai nechtam announcement is to inform us that it was done lishma, because otherwise the people of Medina Sam don't we're not certain that they know it has to be done lishma. Now, why should we conclude that it's Reb Yishuv ben Levi who holds the lishma consideration to be the explanation? The Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, I see Gito lekamei de Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon was a shaliach. He brought a get into the presence of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. V'yomar le, and Rabbi Shimon asked, Sarichna lemeimar f'reinel f'reinechtam olo, do I have to say as an agent, do I have to say that? Omar le, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says, lo tzriches, you don't have to say it. Lo omru elo bederus harishonim shein bekin lishma. The whole need for befonai nechtam is in the early generations when they weren't when the in general they weren't expert in the need for lishma. So I would need to know that this get was done lishma, and that would be through the agent saying b'fonai nefonai nechtam avol b'doro so achroinim. But in the more recent generations, the bekiyin lishma, though they're knowledgeable, they're expert in the need for lishma, there's no need for b'fonai nechtav. Tistayim. So this is a conclusion. It's a good conclusion that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the Chad Omar that said lishma. The next word, Rashi suggests you wouldn't include in the Girsa of the Gemara. That's the first approach Rashi has. There's a second approach that he has, but one thing he makes clear is that if you're going to have this as the Girsa of the word Vitisbara, it nevertheless is not a challenge on what we just said. In general, when you see Vitisbara, it's a word representing a kasha, challenge, raising of a difficulty to that which was just concluded. Not so over here. So therefore, we're going to follow the first approach of Rashi. We're not going to recognize that word, and we're simply going to continue with a question on what we just said. As far as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is concerned, he says, well, in recent generations, there's expertise in lishma, therefore there's no need for b'fonai nefonai nechtam. The Gemara asks, v'ha rabo islei derava. Rabbah, who represented the lishma consideration, he nevertheless acknowledges Rava's position that you also have to have verification of signatures. And here we have a case of a get that was brought from, we'll assume that it was brought from abroad. And yet Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who represents the lishma approach, says you don't need to say anything. But doesn't Rabbah, who also represented the lishma approach, say that you need to have, because of Rava's concern with kiyum hashtaros v'yod? Ho'arinan, and furthermore, didn't we also say shemo yachsu dover likilkulo? Just by the mere fact that it's doros ha'achronim or b'kiyin lishma, that doesn't alleviate the need for b'fonai nefonai nechtam. Is there not the fear that things might go back to the way they were, and then you certainly would need b'fonai nefonai nechtam? So why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi exempt Rabbi Shimon bar Abba from saying b'fonai nefonai nechtam? The Gemara now adds a critical detail that we didn't know before. El Rav Shimon bar Abba inish achrino have b'hadei. Rav Shimon bar Abba was accompanied by another man. So you had two people bringing the get. And as we saw earlier, when you have two people bringing the get, you're dealing now with an unusual circumstance called Milsa de la Shicha. And in a case of Milsa de la Shicha, an unusual situation, not only is it Lachar Shalomdu, but it's also two people that are bringing the get, so we don't make the Gzeira of Shemo Yachsu Dovo Lukil Kuloi. And the fact that additional person wasn't mentioned in the story above, Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Shimon, because of our honor for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was a very great man. He was a towering figure, and to add some, we'll say, a commoner that came along with him would be a slight, we'll say, degradation to his to the honor due to Rabbi Shimon. So we didn't make mention of the fellow that accompanied him. But in reality, there were two people that brought the get, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was able to rule no need for saying b'fonai nefonai nechtam. Before we go further in the Gemara, on the side we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads b'fnei kama nosno lo, in front of how many does the agent give the get to the woman? And we'll see a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. We mentioned these names, and at the same time, just remind you that we saw the name Rabbi Yochanan mentioned in the previous discussion. Why I'm making mention of that now, we'll see later in the Gemara. The Gemara, Itmar, b'fnei kama nosno lo, in front of how many, in the presence of how many, does the agent give the get to the woman being divorced? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. Again, you have two names. Chadomar b'fnei shnayim v'chadomar b'fnei shlosha. Two names, we don't know who says what. One says in front of two, in the presence of two, and the other one says in the presence of three. Tistayim, let's conclude the Rabbi Yochanan who the Omar b'fnei shnayim. That it's Rabbi Yochanan who says that it's sufficient that two are present when the get is given to her. The Rovin Barav Chisda, I see Gita lekamei to Rabbi Yochanan. Rovin was an agent for conveyance of a get, and he brought it to the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar lei, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Zil hav lo ba'api trei. You go and bring the get and give her the get in the presence of two. V'eim olahu, and say, b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechtam. Tistayim. So this is a solid conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan is the Chad Omar, that it's in the presence of two. Lema behalkom ifilgi. Here we have a diamond marking scheme introduced, and on the side of the Gemara, under the mivneh, the structural note, the diamond is explained to highlight nisyonos lahazbir machlokusam. These are attempts to explain the machlokus 2 verses 3. So lema behalkom ifilgi. Demand yomer b'fnei shnayim kosovar lefi she'ein b'kiyim lishma. Rabbi Yochanan, who said in front of two. That's because the need for the shliach to say b'fonei nechtam is in effect an announcement that the get was done lishma, and as long as you have two people that hear it, so they serve as witnesses that the shliach said what he's supposed to say. And if the husband were to come and challenge, we wouldn't listen to him anymore. Because here we have the testimony that it was done lishma, and these two will serve as witnesses that the shliach said what he's supposed to say. Uman diomer b'fnei shloisha, the opinion that says it's given in front of three, kosovar, he holds that the whole reason for the shliach to say b'fonei nechtav is lefi she'ein eidim mitzuyim lekaimo. It's because you don't have, without the shliach, I'm not going to have witnesses that will be able to verify the signatures. And Rashi adds, since the purpose of b'fonei nechtam is for kiyum hashtar, verification, well, in general, verification of documents is done in the presence of three. Therefore, the shliach, who is in effect the kiyum hashtar, he has to do so in front of three. So that if you stopped here, you'd end up saying that the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, parallels the machlokas that we saw before between Rabba and Rava. The Gemara asks, v'tisbara. Here, we're raising a question, unlike what we discussed before with the whether or not to have the gears of v'tisbara. Here, we're really challenging the conclusion that we just reached. The conclusion we just reached was that Rabbi Yochanan was the one that said two. And by saying that, you're saying that it's for lishma purposes. We ask the question here that lasts a couple of lines. Ha midi Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar lefishein biki in lishma. And here, use the star that you see to the side of the Gemara. If you align this star with the stars that you see above, we established earlier that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who had an argument with whom? With Rabbi Yochanan. And it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who said that the b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechtam is for lishma purposes. So if it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi above that said that that the b'fonei nechtav is for lishma purposes, lefi shein b'kiyum lishma, Rabbi Yochanan omar lefi shein eidim mitzuyim lekaimo. The one that was arguing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was Rabbi Yochanan, and it would then be Rabbi Yochanan that says that the b'fonei nechtav is for verification purposes. V'hacha hechi komar Rabbi Yochanan b'fnei shnayim. How can then Rabbi Yochanan over here say that it's enough to have the get given in front of two? Did we not just say a little earlier that verification must take place in front of three? V'yod, and furthermore, ha-rabba islay derava. Rabba himself, who emphasized the lishma aspect, he agrees with Rava that you need to have verification. It would come out, therefore, that everyone acknowledges the need for verification of signatures. Everyone should require the get, therefore, to be given over in front of three. So where do you come off suggesting that someone would say it's sufficient to have it given over in front of two? Ela de kulei alma bo inon edim mitzuyim lekaimo. Everyone acknowledges that the shliach is serving as a verification of the signatures, because otherwise we would have to find we would need witnesses and edim mitzuyim lekaimo, witnesses that are readily available. So if witnesses are readily available, fine. But if you're bringing a get from Medina Sayam, they're not readily available, and the shliach serves as the kium, as the mekayim, the verifier of the signatures. Everyone agrees with that. So then if everyone agrees with that, what's the basis of having the only two present? Did we not say that verification has to take place in front of three? We continue with our diamond marking scheme. We have to explain the machlokas. One says in front of two, one says in front of three. What's the basis of that machlokas? V'hacha, v'shliach na'ase aid, v'aid na'ase dayon komifligi. In our case of an agent bringing the get, so the agent is turning into a witness, meaning a witness that the signatures are authentic. Can someone who is defined as a witness himself be defined or let's say identified or categorized as a judge as well? Can you be a witness and turn into being a judge? Now, when we speak about a judge, we're talking about the three judges that are necessary for kiyum hashtoros, for signature verification. Mandi omer b'fnei shnayim, the opinion that said, give the get, you, the agent, give it to her in front of two others. Why is that enough? Kosovar shliach na'ase eid, the eid na'ase dayan. He's of the opinion that the shliach who serves as a witness, he can at the same time also be a dayan. And being that he is a dayan, so as you have him, a dayan, plus the two others in front of whom the get is going to be given, you've got a total of three dayanim, sufficient for signature verification. Uman yomer b'fnei shloisha, the opinion that says that the agent gives her the get in the presence of three others, kosovar shliach na'aseh, he's acknowledging that the agent serves as the witness. He is, in effect, the witness concerning the signatures as being authentic. However, witness, yes, v'enei na'ase dayan, but he cannot be a judge as well. He cannot be one of the three judges. Therefore, I've got to have three others present. Question: v'ha'kaimalon b'derabbanan de'ei na'ase dayan. But do we not have a principle that in rabbinic areas of law, this being one of them, the need for signature verification is itself a rabbinic stringency? So in the realm of rabbinic law, as opposed to Torah level testimony, don't we hold the aid na'ase dayan, that the aid does become a dayan? Shouldn't two be enough? So then if that's the case, then why, what's the explanation for the opinion that says you need to give it in front of three? Ela hocha beha komiflegi. The more sovar, the one who says it must be given in front of three, the reason for that is the kevon de isha shera lahavi esaget. Since a woman, and this we've seen already a few times in our shir today, a woman can actually serve as the agent for bringing her own get. So, and we also saw that the woman who brings the get, she has to say b'fanei naftam, b'fanei naftam. Now, a woman, if she's going to be an aid, and you're going to then say, aid nasa dayan, but a woman cannot be a dayan. Even though it's a rabbinic realm of law, it has to be a type of individual who's an aid that could serve as a dayan. But a woman can't serve as the dayan. Zimnin de maisa law itza, we're concerned that maybe a woman will be the agent of conveyance of the get. The samchi Allah. And if you're going to say that in general two are enough, we'll say, okay, have two over here plus the woman, I've got three. But that's not going to be a kosher situation. And therefore, we make a rule across the boards that always have three men present so that you don't come to rely on the agent, even though most times, most cases, the agent really would be a good dayan, not so if it turns out to be a woman. The idach, the opinion that says two are sufficient, doesn't he concern himself with this possibility? Gemara says, Isha meida yadi velo samchi Allah. It's well known that a woman cannot serve as a dayan, and therefore, since it's well known, if it so happens that the woman does serve as the agent, they're going to call in a third person. But if it's not a woman bringing it, so eid nasa dayan, because we're dealing with kiyum shtos, which is the rabbanan. Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Yochanan that it's sufficient that two are present when the agent gives the woman the get. Hamevi get mimenidas hayam v'nosnu lo v'lo omar lo b'fneish b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechta. Agent brings get from abroad, gives it to woman, and doesn't say b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechta. Yotzi v'avlad mamzer divrei Rabbi Meir. Well, if she remarries after having received a divorce document under these circumstances with the silence of the shaliach, she's got to leave the second husband, and if she bore any children with the second husband, the child is a mamzer. He's illegitimate. In other words, in the absence of the shliach, she's not considered divorced from her first husband at all. The Chachomim remain Avlad Mamzer. The Chachomim say, no, the child that's born from the second husband is not a Mamzer. She's considered divorced. Obviously, if according to Rabbi Meir, she's still considered a married woman to the first husband, and a married woman that has intimacy with another man and produces children from that intimacy, from that relation, the child is a Mamzer. The Chachamim say, but she's not viewed as a still married. Therefore, the child with the second man is not a mamzer. Ketzad yase, so what should be done? Yitlenu heimeno, the agent should take the get back from the woman. V'yachzor v'yitnenu lo, b'fnei shnayim, and he should then give it to her again in front of two. And this time he should say, v'yomar b'fonei nechta, b'fonei nechtam. The source was brought to highlight the opinion of the Chachamim as being the basis of Rabbi Yochanan that says that the giving of the get is by the agent to the woman is to be done in the presence of two, and that you can see quite clearly in this source. The Gemara now focuses on Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir, Mishum Talo Amar Befonei Nefonei Nechtam Yotzi Vavlad Mamzer, because the agent didn't say the magical words of Befonei Nefonei Nechtam, the woman is considered fully married to the first husband, and she therefore has to leave the second man, and the kid that she had with him is a mamzer. Mor says, "In that's right." Rabbi Meir Litame. Rabbi Meir's, we'll say, extreme stance over here, his strict stance over here, is consistent with what he said elsewhere. The Omar Rav Hamnuna Mishum Teula. Omer Hoya Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Kol HaMeshane Mimatbeya Shetovu Chachomim Begitin. Anyone who alters, who changes from the format, the matbeya, the format in which gittin are prepared and are given, yotzi vavlad mamzer. The subsequent marriage is unacceptable. She has to leave that second man, and any children she had with him are mamzerim. So Rabbi Meir is very insistent on strict adherence to all rabbinic rules concerning divorce documents. And amongst those rules are the need for a shliach to say, b'fanei natam. The non-statement represents a mishana mimatbeah shetobu chachomim begitin. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Nosei / Mivneh, a double underlining marking appears. Deois bekamo hashgoche tzorich liois b'shas ksivas aget kidei ledas shenasis lishmo. How much, we use the word hashgoche, means how much supervision is necessary to establish that the get was prepared lishmo. Maybe that sounds a little abstract, but with the examples in the Gemara, that will become much clearer. Bar Hadaya, that's a name. Boy Lusia Gita. Bar Hadaya needed to bring a get. He was going to serve as an agent for bringing a divorce document. Also Lekame de Rabbi Achi, to have a Mimuna Agiti. So Bar Hadaya came to Rabbi Achi, who was in charge, he was the overseer of get preparation. Amarle tzorchat olamod al kol ois v'ois. So Rabbi Achi says you've got to be present while each letter of the get is being written and ascertain that it's being done lishma. Also lekamei Rabbi Ami Ravasi. Amrile lo tzriches. Bar Hadaya presented the case to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, and they said, you don't have to be there for every letter, it's enough if you're there for one line. V'chiteim o'avid l'chumra, and if you think to behave more stringently and stay there, insist on being present for every letter, nimtzata moitzi laz al gitim arishonim, you're then, by your behavior, you're casting aspersions on the original, on previous gittin, when people weren't standing there. So for every line, for every letter. So if you're going to stand there for every letter, you're in effect you're insinuating that without being present for every letter, it's not kosher, and that's not true. So don't stand there for every letter. Don't behave l'chumra. Because by doing so, as we said, we'll be casting aspersions, that's moitzi laz, on earlier gittin. Rabo bar barchano, I see gita. Palge ichtiv kamei, palge lo ichtiv kamei. Rabo was an agent for bringing a get. Half of the get was written in his presence, and the other half not. Also the kamei de Rebbe Lozer. Omar le afilu lo kosav boyelo shito achas lishmo shuv eino tzorech. Rabbi Lozer says even if only one line was written lishmo, from the context of the Gemara, actually we can refer to Tosfos. He's more explicit. Tosfos at the bottom afilu kosav boyelo shito achas pir shelo ro elo shito rishona demistamo saimu lishmo. Even if you were there for the first line alone, and you know that that was done lishma, you don't need to be there for any more than that. You can assume that the rest was done also lishma, was finished off lishma. Ravashi is even more lenient with regard to the requirements of the agent. Afilu kan kulmusa v'kan megilta. There are different explanations of what this phrase means. The second pshat in Rashi means is the sound made by the quill writing on the parchment. They will say the scratching noise. As far as an agent is concerned, if all that is that you're present and you hear the get being written, that is enough. In other words, you hear that it's being written lishma. Rashi says on the second line from the top, v'li nira kan kumusa kail, kail's the sound, kail ha kumus, the quill, kishu kaisev, as it's writing, v'kail ha yiria, shunishma, kami, sha'oimer, kan kan. It's an onomatopoeia, it's a noise that you make, a scratching noise. The Gemara continues, Tanyo Kavose Derashi. We're here on the top of Davov Amet Aleph, a brisa that supports Rav Ashi, that says just even if you hear the Gedin, you're not actually witnessing standing next to the scribe as he's writing it, but you hear the Get being written. That's sufficient. Tanya Kavosi de Ravashi, we have a Tanaikser supporting this. Hamevi getting this Hayam. Afilu hu bevayis v'sofer balia. Even if the agent is downstairs and the sofer is balia upstairs, hu balia v'sofer bevayis, or the other way around, the agent is upstairs and the sofer, the scribe, is downstairs. Afilu nichnas v'yoytse kol hayoyim kulo kosher. Even if he's going in and out all day, it's still enough. The Gemara now analyzes this source. Hu bevayis v'sofer balia. The agent is in the downstairs, and the scribe is upstairs. Halo kachazi le. He doesn't see the get being written. The agent doesn't see it being written. Elo lav kagon deshoma kan kumusa v'kan megilta. So what must be? He heard the get being written, the noise of the quill on the parchment. That's what Rav Ashi said, and hence we have a support from a Tanaic source to Rav Ashi's leniency. Omar, what we mentioned in the source above, afilu nichnas v'yotze kol yom kulo kosher. There was a pronoun here. Even if he is going in and out all day, it's okay. Man, who is going in and out all day? And here you see the triangle series marking on the side under our Mivne heading, Gimel Shlovim Levarer. These are three stages to clarify Al Mamedubar Bamokar Afilu Nichnas V'yotze. So what is the source referring to when it says he's going in and out all day? The Gemara continues. Ilemo Shaliach. If you say it's the agent that's going in and out all day, in other words, the scribe is sitting in the house and the Shlich is going in and out all day. Mind you, in a case where the agent is in the house and in the downstairs and the scribe is upstairs, where the agent doesn't see anything, he just hears. You're saying that we said that the get is kosher. Nichnas v'yotze mibaya, where he's going in and out, supposedly where the get is being written, he's just not standing there constantly, he's going in and out. That certainly would kosher. There he's not. There he's actually seeing parts of the get being written. That's obviously going to be okay. Elo sofer. Rather, it's the scribe. He's writing a bit of the get. He goes outside, comes back, continues writing. So even if he's going in and out all day, the get is kosher. Pshita. That seems obvious. Just because he's going in and out, would you think to disqualify the get that he's writing? The Gemara responds, Lo tzricha denofak l'shuka. That really, it is the sofer that's going in and out. But when he goes in and out, he's not just going into a private courtyard. He's not going to his backyard, he's going out to the market, the public area. Let's read that again. Lo tzricha denofak l'shuka v'yosi. Goes out to the market and comes back. Mahu detema. Without the Tanaic source that we read, I would have thought inish achrina ashkeche v'yomale. The sofer might have met up with another person with the same name as the first guy who needs a get. Might have met up with another guy who's disenchanted with his married life, and the wife of the second guy is the same name as the wife of the first couple, and the sofer then received instructions of the second man to write a get for him, and then when he goes back to write the get, the get's being written with the wrong person in mind. It'll be written and then given to the first couple, first man, and the sofer was doing it with the second man and his wife in mind. Maybe I should worry about that, suspect that. Komash Malon, the Tanaic source says, you don't have to worry about that. Sofer goes out, he can go even to the marketplace and meet a lot of people. When he goes back to resume writing the get, he's going to be doing so with the original instructions, with the proper lishma. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.